Well, I just want to say I wish you all could have been here yesterday morning. We had the last session of our three-on-three basketball with about 100 kids and probably 200 parents and grandparents and siblings in the CLC. And then in this interview, Casey was conducting the auditions for the Young Artists performance that is going to happen later this spring. We had about 50 musicians all around the building. Every room was full of music. It was an incredible morning in this place. And the excitement and the vitality of this congregation was on display. And then last night was the CAS annual dinner. We had were five tables of people from this church who were a part of the CAS annual dinner. Three of our gentlemen, Bob Pierce, Bob Dona, and Tom Russell, were named as Volunteers of the Year. And my wife received the award as the Staff Member of the Year. Bill Ritter did the auction at the end, raising money like Bill can do. And it was a wonderful evening together, a great celebration of the life of this church from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, just witnessing to what this community and congregation means to us. Now, we're about Holy Week coming up. Probably 8:15 won't be a problem, but on Palm Sunday and Easter morning, we invite you to carpool and to park at the back of the lot to make room for visitors that might be with us, except for Mike Hockey, who might be with us on Palm Sunday and Easter. And Holy Week this year will be very special. Monday night, the Women's Ensemble from Adrian College. Tuesday night, Cora Glass, one of our candidates for ordained ministry. And Wednesday night, Hal Wiemhoff, one of our former pastors, returning as preacher. So it will be a wonderful Holy Week celebration together. Sermons have a strange way of sometimes taking on their own life and going in a direction you hadn't chosen. And so if you're paying attention to the scripture reading this morning, and if you're paying attention to the sermon title, you can just scrap that. And instead, turn to John's Gospel, where John gives what is really his purpose in writing this Gospel. There are two places that he identifies the purpose and the direction of the Gospel, at the end of chapter 20 and at the end of chapter 21. John chapter 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name. And from the very end of the Gospel, chapter 21, verse 24, this is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things, and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things which Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Shall we pray together? Lord, in our day and our time, make us witnesses to the great things that you have done in our lives and what you are doing in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 7 years in Kentucky and 7 years in Tennessee, I know, are not enough to make me a Southerner. All it makes me is a Yankee who moved south. But 7 years in Kentucky and 7 years in Tennessee helped me to fall in love with March and April in that part of the world where everything is already blooming and unbelievably beautiful this time of year. The other thing that I came to appreciate in 7 years in Kentucky and 7 years in Tennessee were some Southern expressions. Of course, you know that y'all is a much better plural for the word you than what I grew up with. In Western Pennsylvania, it was yuns, and in neighboring New Jersey, it was you's guys. So y'all is much better. And then there's always the word of preparation, fixing. As in, I'm fixin' to go, or I'm fixin' to come, or I'm fixin' to walk upside of the head. It's a colorful way of saying you're preparing to do something. And then there is the use of the additional pronoun. Not really needed, not really necessary, but good for emphasis. The use of the pronoun me. As in, I got me some supper. And I'm fixing to get me some dinner. Or as the song says, down in Kansas City, they got some pretty little women there, and I'm going to get me one. And as the preacher would say, can I get me a witness? Can I get me a witness? Imagine, just imagine, perhaps 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, a gathering of disciples. And the old man, John, comes to the midst of the group, and he asks the question, can I get me a witness? Can I get me a witness? Quickly, almost instantly, one jumps to his feet, like an athlete jumping over the barriers, and he jumps to his feet, and with joy he says, I'll be a witness. Remember, I was lying by the pool of Bethsaida. I'd been there for 38 years. From the time I was a child, my parents would put me on a little cart and drag me over to the pool, and I'd lie there and take pennies and alms from people that passed by. And you know the story of the pool of Bethsaida. The idea was that if you got in the water when the water was bubbling and troubled from the underground springs, well then if you were the first one to get in, you could be healed. I laid there for 38 years. Someone always got to the water before me. Then the day came that Jesus came along. And Jesus said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, Jesus, you know, somebody else always gets there before me. There's nobody there to help me, making excuses. And Jesus simply said, rise up. He gave me the courage to stand. He gave me the power to rise. And after 38 years, I was walking, standing tall. He changed my life. You want a witness? I'm one. And as everyone listened and smiled, an old man stood up. Everyone knew him. His name was Bartimaeus. They'd all heard his story a dozen times, but no one ever tired of hearing it. Old Bartimaeus started his story. They all could have repeated it. They'd heard it so often. I was blind from birth. Never saw the sky. I'd never seen a sunrise. I had no idea what the color blue was. Blind from birth. My life was lived in shades of black and white. Everything was gray and nothing was clear and visible. Blind from birth. Then Jesus came along. Jesus saw me there by the roadside. I heard the commotion. I heard the crowd coming, and I said to the people with me, what's all the racket? And they said, hush, hush, Jesus is coming. And I started to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, quiet, quiet, don't make such a fuss. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then I heard the crowd begin to quiet down and said to the person beside me, what's happening? What's happening? Well, Jesus is coming. He's coming this way. Then I felt Jesus' hands on my shoulder and on my head, and he touched my eyes, and in an instant I could see. All of the shadows were gone. For the first time in my life, I could see the world for what it really was. I could see the people around me. For the first time in my life, I could see. If you need a witness, how about me? And in the hushed silence of the familiar story of old Bartimaeus, John would ask the question once again, this time gently, can I get me a witness? And a woman stood up in the back, still hesitant, even in the Christian community, hesitant to speak because women had no place, they had no voice in society. And so even within the Christian community, they were sometimes hesitant to take their place. She had her face covered with a veil. No one knew her name. She said, I remember a day. Jesus was teaching in the temple. It was early morning. The Pharisees came barging into my house where I was with another man, not my husband. It was how I supported myself. They dragged me from my home and they brought me to the temple and they threw me down in front of Jesus and they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. As if she was all by herself. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. Nobody bothered to bring the man along, you see. This woman ought to be stoned. That's what the law says. What do you say? And all Jesus did was keep doodling in the dust. He just kept writing in the sand and didn't say anything. They kept prodding him. Jesus, what do you say? And finally, Jesus said, let the one among you that is without sin cast the first stone. And he went back to writing in the sand. And quietly, one at a time, they all drifted away. Finally, Jesus looked up and said to me, woman, where are they who accuse you? She said, there's no one. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go. Sin no more. She quietly slipped from the room, unknown, unnamed, not having to carry the burden of her past with her, able to live in innocence and anonymity. I'll be a witness. Then another one stood and said, you know, I was like a lost coin. I was a lost sheep. I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going in life, but Jesus found me and he gave my life meaning and direction. And another one said, I was hungry and homeless and Jesus fed me. I'll be a witness. And another one said, you know, I was just a little child. And you know, in our day, in our society, nobody cared about children. Children were less worth than women. And I was there, and Jesus called me into the circle, and he placed me in the middle, and he said, you got to be like this child if you want to become part of the kingdom. Let the little children come to me. And it made all the difference in my life. And another one said, well, I was just a child. My mother had taken me to hear Jesus teach out on the mountainside. And the day went on and it got to supper time and all of a sudden the forgetful disciples remembered that they didn't have anything for supper for all these people. And I said, well, I've got a little sack lunch here of just 5 loaves and 3 small fishes. I'm willing to share. And I shared my lunch and Jesus took it. And lo and behold, everybody started sharing. And by the time they were done, there were 12 baskets left over. I'll be a witness to what Jesus did and how Jesus taught us the power of sharing. And one at a time, they told their stories. And John promised them that he would record their stories, that he would write it down. And he said, there are many things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain all the books. But these stories, these will be written down so that others might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in him might have life. All because of the witnesses. Can I get me a witness? Can I get me a witness? Scott Crosdick, son of this congregation, has a new book out. It's called Pursuits. And in it, he tells a story that hadn't happened in this place, in this town. He said when he was growing up, one of his friends invited him to come to his baptism. Scott said he didn't even know the kid went to church. Scott confesses we played on the same soccer team. He says we usually let our language slip on the soccer field. We sometimes talked faster than we played. If anything, we were irreverent at best. So he dressed up, and he went to his friend's baptism. He said there in that church there was a pool, and the time came when his friend stepped down into the pool of water, and the preacher read the scripture from Romans that says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore you have been buried with him in baptism, just as so that you might be raised with Jesus from the dead and walk in newness of life. If we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Christ." And he took his friend and put him down under the water and then brought him back up again in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Scott said he and his friend were walking home after it was all over. And his friend said, "Did you hear what the preacher said today?" "Yeah." "He said I died." "Yeah, I guess so." "Does that make me a zombie or what?" "I don't know." And then his friend said to him, "Do you think anybody will notice? Do you think anybody will see the difference? Do you think anybody will notice that I've been baptized with Christ?" And of course, that is the question, isn't it? Would anybody notice? Could anybody tell the difference? Would our lives be a witness to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ in the world? Can it get me a witness here in this day, in this world, to what Jesus Christ has done for us? Let's pray together. Lord, may our lives bear evidence to the fact, the reality, the truth, that you have taken our lives and you have touched our lives and you have given us new life. May those around us notice. May our witness bring honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.